Morning, church. Would you guys pray with me before we have the sermon here? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you for the butterflies you put in my stomach. I want to thank you for the fact that you remind me every time I stand up here that I am presenting your word and the serious nature of that, the importance of presenting your word in a way that reaches out, that presents your truth and that brings love. And I just pray that you'll be with me today as I present this sermon. Pray that you will give me the ability to present it in the way that you would have it presented, and that we recognize the need for your word in our lives, especially in the times that we live in, that we honor you and that we walk in a way that's pleasing to you. Pray this in your Son Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen. So as we've been looking at Galatians, we've heard some really awesome and amazing things happening. We've got freedom, right? We can be excited about that. We can be excited about the fact that we are free in Christ Jesus. And we learned that that freedom comes with a responsibility to serve, a responsibility to love. We'll look at that again in Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So we talked about, the last time we looked at Galatians, the idea that we need to be servants. We need to love each other, to care about each other, to be available to each other. Now, I don't know about you, but when you say that to me, all of a sudden I start thinking, that's hard. It's hard to love people every day. It's hard to love the guy that just cut me off. It's hard to love that person who just made that rude comment. It's hard to love those people who are constantly around us with a negative attitude, negative belief system, constantly making us feel run down and weighed down. And so there's a part of me that just says, wow, you're asking the impossible, God. To tell me to love my neighbor is just such a hard responsibility. And so I'm left with the question, how do I do this? How am I possibly going to be able to love my neighbor as myself when everything inside of me is screaming, I don't want to love you when you're not good to me. I don't want to love you when you don't care about me. I don't want to serve you. Well, as we look, Paul continues on in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. You see, Paul is telling us, if we want to serve and we want to walk in love, we have to walk by the Spirit. So what does that mean, to walk by the Spirit? You know, over and over again in my life, I've had friends that went to different churches and different places, and I'd ask them, how was your worship service? Oh, it was great. The Spirit was moving. Everybody's energy level was high. We felt great. Everything was amazing. God was in this place, and it was so uplifting. And I go, oh, great. What did the preacher preach about? Oh, I don't remember, but everything was amazing. God is so good, and it was such an uplifting, and the Spirit was in this place, and you hear these things, and we sometimes kind of start to think that the Spirit's like that, don't we? That the Spirit is just this good feeling. If I have a good feeling about it, it's Spirit-led, it's Spirit-driven. The Spirit is guiding me in that. But when we look at what Paul says, that's not what he's talking about. He doesn't say, the walk by the Spirit and you'll feel good, does he? He says that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the flesh. And tells us that they're opponents. They're directly at war. Our flesh, the things that we want, are fighting against the Spirit. And that can seem confusing to some people, especially to non-believers. They look and they go, well, what are you talking about? I feel great when I'm drunk. What are you talking about? I love being able to be with whoever I want to be with. I love the idea of going out and partying and having a good time. How could you possibly think that this is working against me? And in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us living among them at one time gratified the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. See, the fact of the matter is that we cannot walk by the Spirit when we walk by the flesh, because it's led by the ruler of this world. The flesh is how Satan takes us, works on us, tears us down, and destroys us. So is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that the Spirit can have nothing to do with the flesh? They are polar opposites. You see, he tells us that when we are walking in the flesh, we are doing whatever we want. And we like to do whatever we want, don't we?
Now remember, honey, I told you we can't be staying out this late on a school night.
We can't be staying out late in the body,
whatever. I'll do what I want.
Do what I want, cause I want to do it. You've come to the wrong place.
I love this. I love that. When I watched that cartoon for the first time, I watched this thing five times and could not stop laughing. And you know, the fact of the matter is that we don't think of ourselves like this little boy, do we? Do you ever stop and think to yourself like you're a spoiled brat? Probably not. I know I was when I was a kid, for sure, but we don't think of ourselves in terms like that. But you look at him. This boy had a nice home, a comfortable bed. You could tell from his tummy he's not starving, you know? I mean, this little guy's got a good life, and his mom politely, hey, sweetie. Sweetie, let's make sure we're not out so late. Whatever, I do what I want. You know, this attitude is what we display to God when we continue to walk in the flesh. We've got a God who said, I'll give you everything. I'll give you my kingdom. I'll give you freedom. I'll give you hope. I'll give you everything that you need for life and godliness. And we look at him and we get blah, 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 blah. Do we want to be that kind of people? Do we think about that when we're giving ourselves over to the flesh? In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 20, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, one of the things, we've heard these lists before, haven't we? We've all heard the do not lists in our time. Don't behave like this. Don't behave like that. Don't do this. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself why? Why do we not behave like this? Because these things, each and everything that's listed on here, is me putting me above anything and everything else. When we look at sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, and orgies, it's taking something that God designed to draw a husband and a wife closer together, to bring them into union, and taking them so you can just feel good. It doesn't consider how the other person is going to feel when it's over. It doesn't consider the closeness that you've drawn and the tearing apart that you create. You know, one of the things that that I heard of an imagery of joining together was that it's like gluing two two-by-fours together. You can rip those two-by-fours apart, but they will always be a part of each other. Splinters of each of those two-by-fours will be with the other. And that's what we do every time we join ourselves with another person. And so we are taking and tearing apart ourselves spiritually. We're tearing apart the people that are with us when we give into that kind of behavior. We're ripping ourselves apart, but it is about me. What makes me feel good? Idolatry and witchcraft. That's me telling God, I got it figured out. I don't need you. I can take that idol and I can shape it out of whatever I want. Gold, silver, wood, whatever. I can make my God look however I want my God to look, and you don't matter. Or witchcraft. I can control the universe. I can control power. I can create spells. I can do things outside of your will. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy are all ways in which we put ourselves above other people. Where we start separating ourselves out and saying, I'm better than you. I get to pick who the good people are. I get to pick who the ones are that are in the right place. I get to dominate you. Fits of rage. Why do people throw fits? Why do babies throw fits? To get what they want. To get what they want. And people, so many abusive relationships, that's where it starts. They start screaming and yelling and dominating because they know that the other person will eventually submit. And what are they doing? They're destroying this person whom God loves. Destroying them. All of these things are unwelcome in heaven because all of these things are destructive. All of these things are self-focused and self-absorbed. So we know that if we are walking in the Spirit, if we're walking by the Spirit, these things are not present in our lives. They can't be because those things are all about me and what I want. And Paul also tells us, that when we are walking by the Spirit, we're going to start displaying the fruit. In Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, as we look at these, the love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we can see that these are the exact opposite of the other, aren't they? Love. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love is always about the other guy. Always. You can't say you have love and be self-focused. And so we recognize that this love means that we see in ourselves a difference where I start to care more about other people than I do about myself and my own wants. Joy. When we are joyful, we're encouraging to others. You know, how many times Have you seen somebody go through a difficult situation in their life? They're just struggling, but they come at you with a smile on their face. And you start asking yourself, what in the world is going on with that guy? How could you go through that and still have a smile on your face? I had one of my coworkers who ended up breaking up with his longtime girlfriend come up to me in tears, telling me about the struggle and the hurt of what he was going through. And he looked at me and he said, John, I knew you when you went through your divorce. How were you able to come in here with a positive attitude and laugh and smile? And I said, the only reason I was is because Jesus Christ is Lord. I couldn't do it any other way because my heart was broken. I was destroyed. But the joy that God brings can bring encouragement. In 2 Corinthians 7, verses 4 through 7, it says, I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed on every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. I want you to picture Paul saying that to you. I want you to picture somebody, a missionary. Maybe let's pick Jenny. She's our missionary, her and her husband. How would you feel if Jenny said, I got your check, and I can't tell you how much joy because we're doing the Lord's work with that? How does that make you feel? You're like, send her some more. Let's get this going. Joy has a way of encouraging people, of building people up. It's not about what we get inside. That's happiness. Happiness is about how I feel. Joy is about looking outside of our circumstances and finding delight and sharing that delight with other people. Peace is about uniting others. In Matthew 5, verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Peace. When we find peace in the midst of the storm, when we have the ability to trust in God, what a difference that makes for the people around us. Or when we have a heart that we're willing to say, I see this conflict, I see this problem between people, and we start trying to knit them back together. Let's talk it out. Let's not have this rift. Let's not fight. Let's talk. Let's find out where our differences are and see if we can settle them. Peace is something that lets us know that the Spirit is working in our hearts. Forbearance. Forbearance is putting up with other people's weaknesses. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody, okay? Please don't be offended, but I have to tell you the truth of the Word of God. Fact is, we as Christians are far, 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 far too petty when it comes to forbearance. Well, they said that in the wrong way, and it hurt my feelings. Well, they did this, they did that. Well, did you talk to them? No, but I know their intentions were bad. I know they didn't mean good. I know there's only one way that that could possibly be. Well, I'm sitting there listening going, I can think of another way that you could take that that's not bad. Okay? And I'm not preaching at you. I'm with you. It's hard when people say things not to take it personally. But brothers and sisters, part of the fruit, part of knowing that we're walking in the Spirit is that we don't get our feelings hurt over every little thing that happens. We don't spend our time looking at our brothers and sisters and saying, they did that to hurt me. I know that's what they meant to do. Oh, they were trying to be snide there. They were trying to make that snippy comment. They were trying to get on my nerves and make me feel bad. If you are thinking like that, if that is how you are feeling, it's time for prayer. It's time for reflection. Because it says that if we are growing in the Spirit, if we are walking by the Spirit, we have forbearance. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go and talk to people if they hurt our feelings. We need to be communicating to make sure we're on the right page. But to hold something over somebody's head, to try to use something and say, well, they said this, they did this, I'm never talking to them again, I'm never going to deal with them again, is outside of God's will. And it is not having the forbearance that he calls us to. But forbearance also is about caring for that other person, isn't it? It's the exact opposite of me taking my right. I have a right to be upset. I have a right to be hurt. You hurt me, and I have a right to be angry. And it flips it on its head and says, I'm going to overlook it. Where would we be today if Jesus hadn't overlooked our sins? Where would we be today if he didn't have the forbearance to forgive us of the wrongs that we've done? Kindness, goodness, and gentleness. These are all about treating others the way that they need to be treated, isn't it? What kind of person do you want to come to you if you're struggling? Do you want somebody who's aggressive, or do you want someone who's kind and gentle? Do you want somebody who's seeking good? These attributes are all about the other person. And what about self-control? Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Self-control. You know, one of the favorite verses of mine, and Hilda and Tim both know this verse very well. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We talk about that all the time because that is what self-control is. It's taking my nature and saying, I'm going to step back. And I'm not going to say just the first thing that comes to my mind. I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear what somebody has to say. I'm going to consider it. I'm going to spend the time to really evaluate it and then give my response. And once again, this is all about the other person. This is all about having a nature of saying, I want to say what Jesus Christ would say to you today. I don't want to say to you something that's going to hurt you, that's going to break you down. I want to say something to you that's going to encourage you and build you up. You see, it's no wonder at all that the spirit and the flesh are at war. It's no wonder. They have to be at war because one is all about me and the other is all about thee. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's the sum of the whole gospel. The beauty of the gospel is its simplicity. If you want to know that you're walking in a right relationship with God, he tells you quite plainly, it's got to stop being about you. The Spirit is the one that is guiding you. We can't do this on our own. And so when we see the seeds of self being planted, when we see those seeds of the flesh being planted, it's time for us to step into the Spirit and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm not strong enough on my own. I'm not capable enough on my own. I cannot do this on my own. And we need to be asking ourselves on a daily basis, where am I at? Am I loving, peaceful, forbearing, kind, good, gentle, keeping myself under control? If we don't see ourselves growing in the fruit of the Spirit, we are not becoming Spirit-filled believers. It is so important for us to trust in the Spirit and to walk by the Spirit. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the fact that you provide us all the things that we need to be faithful to you. I thank you that you give us your Spirit to guide us and to give us the strength to make the decisions that we can't make on our own, to have the love, the commitment, and the faithfulness to each other that you demand. Lord, we so much just want to have your Spirit. We want to have your heart. Lord, take the flesh and the lusts of the flesh and all of the things that separate us from you and remove them from our lives and give us a heart of evaluation. Make us like David Help us to have the heart that says, search my heart, O God, and find any wicked way within me. And purge it so that we can be your faithful children. Lord, we know that all things are possible through you, and that the only reason that you call us to do the impossible is because you give us the strength to do it. So I just ask today, Lord, that you will bless us, that you will strengthen us, and that you will make us faithful as believers unto you. We pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.